engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, faith is the realization of what is hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Because of it, the ancients were well attested. By faith, Abraham obeyed, even when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out, not knowing where he was to go. By faith, he sojourned in the promised land as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and maker is God. By faith, he received power to generate, even though he was past the normal age, and Sarah herself was sterile, for he thought that the one who had made the promise was trustworthy. So it was that there came forth from one man, himself as good as dead, descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sands on the seashore. All these died in faith. They did not receive what had been promised, but saw it and greeted it from afar, and acknowledged themselves to be strangers and aliens on earth. For those who speak thus show that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had come, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better homeland, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac. And he, who had received the promises, was ready to offer his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac, descendants shall bear your name." He reasoned that God was able to raise even the dead, and he received Isaac back as a symbol. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people. Through his holy prophets he promised of old that he would save us from our sins, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. On that day, as evening drew on, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us cross to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took Jesus with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. A violent squall came up, and waves were breaking over the boat, so that it was already filling up. Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Quiet, be still." The wind ceased, and there was great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith?" They were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, whom even wind and sea obey?" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Faith and hope. Themes very strong in the letter to the Hebrews from which we have been reading in these weeks and from which we will continue reading. Faith. We don't just have ideas in our head that we like or thoughts in our mind that bring us spiritual comfort. This is not the meaning of faith. The letter to the Hebrews is very clear. This is conviction. This is certainty. Knowing what we do not see before our eyes in the way that we see most other things, but knowing it with no less certainty. And knowing and being convinced of future events that have not yet transpired. A basis, the basis for which is not, again, the comfort that these thoughts and expectations have for us, or the need that there is in us to believe certain things. No, the basis of this kind of faith, both that the letter to the Hebrews is expressing to us in the first reading, and that the gospel reading is displaying before our eyes in that event on the sea with Jesus and the apostles, is based in God. The faithfulness, the trustworthiness of the one who reveals these things to us as true and who makes the promises that we know will be fulfilled. It's all based on the trustworthiness of God. Now, I spoke the other day when we commemorated St. Thomas Aquinas, we spoke about the connection between faith and reason. I spoke the other day of the fact that it is reasonable to accept the authority of God, of Christ, of the Church. We can't disengage from human reason. There's no way to disengage. We don't throw human reason off to the side. Our mind tells us that it makes sense to trust the authority of God. And so we do. Trusting that authority, we then know from God, His revealed word, for example, the teachings of His Church, certain things that we could never come to just by reason alone. So faith is not just trust whoever you want. In fact, the Scriptures warn against that. Don't trust anybody who comes along, even if they do miraculous signs and claims that they are from God, or anybody who comes along and makes you feel good, or that they have a message from God, or any group of people that just because they make you feel welcome or they fulfill some kind of spiritual need that you have, doesn't mean that they're from God. It doesn't mean that their teachings are true. We have to apply our mind to this and come to the point that we know what sources we trust. But once we trust those sources, if you have come to the conviction by both reason and faith, that you are to trust in God, in the promises He makes in His Word, and in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then from there, as the letter to the Hebrews says, faith is this confident assurance of things that we don't see, but we know are true. And this makes us believe, for example, that it is better to suffer with God than to be comfortable with the world. This is one of the things, one of the practical effects that faith has. That in being faithful to God, in witnessing to His truth, and being apostles of His gospel and His teaching, and carrying out His great commission to bring the world into conformity with His law, we're going to be unpopular. Yesterday was the March for Life in Washington, D.C. A few of us who are national leaders in the march got together and we marched to represent all the rest of you who are pro-life, and many of you have gone to that March for Life, but yesterday it was not the usual march with hundreds of thousands of people coming because they were asked to stay home and to participate virtually for safety reasons from the virus, and also Washington, D.C. was not in its normal condition, I can assure you of that. Many roads closed and fenced off and so on and so forth. So the march was done very differently. But those people who marched had no less of a faith or a spiritual excitement and fervor and conviction than in all the years that I have seen. And I've been going to the March for Life since 1976 when I was a high school student. Faith, the realization of what is hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. On display again yesterday, as has always been the case at the March for Life each year, you have pro-life people who are looking right in the face of an immense evil that is still taking nearly a million lives a year in the United States alone, many tens of millions of more lives around the world, and that is still supported by the government, especially now with a pro-abortion administration in place, and laws and court decisions that continue to make this Holocaust happen. And yet, as we march, we are filled with joy. Certainly, we weep over the destruction of the babies, and we need to. If we have never wept, if our hearts are not broken over the ongoing tragedy of abortion, we're not connecting with it. But we do connect with the evil. We do weep for these babies. And yet, we have, as you would see in those marchers yesterday and in all the previous years, a tremendous hope and joy. Why? Because of the kind of faith that both this letter to the Hebrews and this gospel passage describe. A conviction. We know that God has conquered the kingdom of death. We know that ultimately life prevails. We know that this evil will be conquered. It will not last forever. It will not triumph. So the kind of faith that's being spoken of here can endure temporary setbacks and losses and can endure persecution and ridicule. We are ridiculed for marching for life. We are ridiculed for being pro-life. We are ridiculed for fighting abortion. We're ridiculed for thinking it's possible to stop abortion. But this kind of faith says it's better to suffer and be on the right side with God than to rejoice with the world and to be in with the people who are doing evil and to be praised by the people that are doing evil. It is better to be able to endure a crucifixion, a Good Friday, a setback, problems in the political realm when people are in office or are doing horrific things. Biden just the other day reinstituting the payment of our tax dollars to foreign non-governmental organizations who, while they're trying to fight malaria and bring nutrition to children in other countries, are also bringing the killing of children by advocating or performing abortions. That makes no sense. And 77% of Americans, including a majority of Democrats and a majority of people who say they're pro-choice, don't want their money paying for abortions overseas. And yet Biden just goes right ahead and signs that executive order. You explain it. So what we've got here are all kinds of setbacks here in this world at this moment. But faith has in mind also, see, faith doesn't ignore what's going on in our midst. Faith is not denial. Oh, it's not so bad as it looks. Yeah, it is. Faith sees the whole picture and sees the victory in the future unfolding that God has already won today. The victory of truth over falsehood, of grace over sin, of life over death. Faith holds on to that. Jesus says to the apostles in the boat, yeah, there's the wind and the seas. He's not denying that the water is coming into the boat. He's not denying that. But he says, why did you worry? Why didn't you have more faith? And again, this is not an unreasonable kind of confidence. It is backed up by solid reason. Reason to trust in the authority and the power of God and his Christ. What a powerful example with Abraham, right? He's called our father in faith. Advanced in age, he and his wife Sarah never had children. You're going to have children as numerous as the stars. And they laughed. They laughed at God. And then Isaac was born. A miracle. In fact, Isaac means laughter, his name. And then God says, sacrifice Isaac. It's like, wait a minute, Isaac himself was the miraculous fulfillment or the beginning of the fulfillment of this promise that seemed so impossible that I would have all these descendants. Now you want me to sacrifice him? And yet Abraham obeyed even that. God calls Abraham to have so much trust that was unbelievable, not only in being willing to offer Isaac. Of course, God didn't let him kill Isaac. He stopped his hand. He just wanted to see if he was going to obey him. But Abraham said, look, even if I kill him, God is God. He made everything out of nothing. He can raise the dead. And you need to think of that in your own life too. He can raise the dead. He made everything out of nothing. He's already in your future. Faith says, trust him. But not only in regard to Isaac, but in regard to where he was going, set out for a land that I will show you, God said to Abraham. He didn't know where he was going, the reading here says. And yet he knew that God was already there. And if God was telling him something now, there was reason to trust him. And so it is with us. I remember talking with Mother Angelica, whom I knew well and had many opportunities to talk. Mother Angelica, we miss her very much. Foundress of EWTN. In one of my many conversations with her, I said, Mother Angelica, how do you do great things for God? And she said, you know, one of the first things you have to keep in mind is we're not always entitled. In fact, we're usually not entitled to see the whole path in front of us, to see the 5th, 6th, 10th, 20th step that's going to unfold from what we do today. We're called to trust and do the good today that we can do. Go through the open door. As long as you see that that open door is right and good, you don't have to see the next door after that, the one after that, the one after that, or how you're going to overcome the inevitable obstacles in the way if you start off on a certain journey. Mother Angelica built that network. She didn't have some kind of a, you know, detailed plan that said, okay, here's exactly where the money's going to come from for the next 10 years. No. You go through the open door that God gives you today with the kind of faith that Abraham had, with the kind of faith that all the wonderful people that this letter to the Hebrews in chapter 11 from which we read today reminds us, all the biblical stories. Have no doubt. Have courage. And trust in the one who calms the seas, brings life back from the dead, gives Abraham descendants as numerous as the stars, and fulfills the promises he makes to you and me, conquers the power of death itself. Thank you, Lord, for faith. Thank you for the way we apply it in our lives. Thank you for the joy it brings. Thank you for the knowledge and the assurance that no one can conquer us, but rather it is our faith that conquers the world. Jesus, renew that faith in us today and forever. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.